Bandwidth for December has been provided by CashFly, the fastest, most reliable CDN in the business. CashFly delivers all of our content here at 5x5, and they're the best. Check them out at cashfly.com, CACHEFLY, and let them know that you heard about them here on 5x5. I'm recording.
I'm recording over here.
Yep, as am I.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1... We recorded this episode on December 23rd, 2015. This is On the Grid, episode 147. This is the last episode we're going to do for this year, at least. We'll be back in 2016, but this is the last of 2015. So we decided to ask you about ways that we can improve the show. We put it up on our subreddit. We asked you to comment. And so we're going to read some of those, talk about ways that we can improve the show, and hopefully actually work on those for the next year. If this is the first time you're ever listening to the show, I might say maybe check out another one to get a better idea of what the show actually is about. But if you're a fan, you want to hear how we're going to try to make it better, stick around. Here we go.
Happy holidays.
Oh, holidays. Stress-inducing, family fun holidays.
Wait, are you guys spending the holidays with family, or like, what are you guys doing this year?
Oh, yeah.
I'm visiting Susie's family this year, and then I'm going to see my family. How about you, Dan? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm in North Carolina right now, so I'm actually with family right now. So Mel came with me down to North Carolina, and it's a lot of driving around saying like, oh, this is where I grew up. This is where I've lived like 18 years of my life. And she said, oh, that's the grocery store. And I said, oh, yeah, it is. And like driving, she's like, isn't that the same grocery store that we went to? No, that's a different one. It looks the same. Going down the same street. And she's like, wait, didn't we already pass that grocery? No, it's another shopping center with a very similar, you know, it's all the same thing here. And I'm not kidding. In this area, it's nothing but shopping centers and subdivisions. So, like, coming back here, it's the area itself is the most dreadful thing in the world. Because it's nothing but grocery stores, massage therapy things, like a Chick-fil-A, and houses. Living in San Francisco for the few years is just, it's broken me. Because I'm used to being able to walk anywhere. Or get public transport or whatever, and there's variety in anywhere that I go. But coming back here, it's just like monotonous crap after one after another.
Where's Mel from exactly?
Oh, she's from New Brunswick, Canada.
So was she like raised in like an urban environment, or is New Brunswick rural? What's going on up there in New Brunswick?
At best, it's like the town she lives in is very, 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 very small. So it's mostly urban around like downtown. In Main Street, it has basically 16 restaurants. Most of those are bars, and that's it. So just coming into suburban world, even she's like, yeah, I don't know if I could live in a place like this, which I very much appreciate.
Were you trying to trick her into staying?
No, well, mostly while driving around, like, see, we're never going to do this ever. And she's like, no, we are never going to do this.
Hillary was raised in DC proper, like in the city, you know, taking the subway from when she was like 12 to go to punk shows or whatever. And she had really spent basically no time in the suburbs until like the first time we went home for the holidays to see my family. And she was like, oh, I see. I get it. we're going to Applebee's, you say? Okay. That'll be interesting. It's funny because, you know, I feel like everyone takes their upbringing for granted and assumes that it's somewhat normal. And for her, it was like, so how'd you get to your friend's houses? I was like, I drove where I was driven there all the time. She's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, the thing. Anyway, in the past, we've done like a year-end special kind of thing. And we first started this show. Some of you OG listeners may remember, this was a topical show. We had a doc that we went to every single week where we posted design news, and that doc will be full this week, because let me tell you, Steve Harvey, am I right? Graphic design, changing the world.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I'm really glad that if it had to happen to anybody, it happened to Steve Harvey, who seems like an incredible asshole. So, that's great.
Oh, is he an asshole?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Google shit Steve Harvey says. He writes... I think he hates women and gay people.
Oh,
and anyone who doesn't share his religion. I think that's pretty clear. So,
well, I'm glad he misread that card.
Steve Harvey, you huge jerk.
Take that, Steve.
Now you look like a huge jerk.
Anyway, back in the early days, we would have cut all this out of the podcast, but now we're going to keep it in.
Maybe graphic design solved a problem in that situation, Andy. Did you think of that?
By outing him?
Yeah, as a jerk.
Oh.
It certainly drew a lot of attention to Miss Universe, because who else would have ever known Miss Universe was going on? I didn't even know that was still a thing, honestly. I mean, I guess I would have assumed if you had asked me, like, quiz show style, is Miss Universe still a thing? I would have assumed yes, but it's kind of shocking still. Anyway, this used to be a topical show where we talked about graphic design, how shapes and colors affect the news. And, you know, we've kind of slowly slipped away from that. And it was last year the year we did the... So, I mean, our original year recaps were like, what did 2013 look like for graphic design? What were the most popular shapes and colors? What font was really all over the place?
It was weird that you did the voice the whole time, but...
You know, I was committed. I was committed to it. Mm-hmm. I've lost that spirit. But was it last year that we did the searching old episodes for things that we ourselves said that we then later disagreed with? Or was that two years ago?
2 years ago.
No, that was the 100th episode.
That was the 100th episode? Mm-hmm. What did we do last year for the end of the year special?
I think the same thing.
We still did like a recap?
Yeah. I think we did a recap.
Yeah, but last year was a weird recap because we started to do more abstract and bigger picture subjects, so it wasn't as topical.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's the thing is we've slowly been sliding down this this road of becoming less a show about a specific thing and more a show just about some dudes chatting, which I think is a pretty unique idea for a podcast. Some dudes chatting about stuff.
Yeah, who ever thought of that?
Yeah, I'm thinking people are going to want to know our thoughts about stuff. So it doesn't really make sense to do a year-end review anymore. And I was thinking, I've been listening to a new podcast lately. It is a very weird, very nerdy podcast that will probably appeal to very few of you. It's actually, here's how specific it is. It is a podcast hosted by two professional Magic players that specifically have a show entirely dedicated to one subgenre of playing Magic, which is limited Magic, which is where you don't bring your own deck. You don't like get to construct a deck ahead of time. You show up and you're somehow given cards either through a draft or you just are given a bunch of booster packs and you have to build the best deck you can out of them. So it's just like one subset of already a very nerdy game that has a certain size audience. And they make this very specific podcast. They put a show out every single week, hour and a half long episodes where they're talking just about strategies that affect only this one subset of this one particular card game. And their end of the year thing they did this week was they just, you know, they have a very active community of people that are like, you know, sending deck lists to each other and talking about events and meeting each other at all these kind of professional games around the country. And they did like ask their listeners for feedback. How could they improve the show? And they spent the entire show kind of going over that. And I thought it would be interesting for us to do the same thing because we've done a survey in the past. We made an attempt, I guess it was probably like 60 or 70 episodes ago, at doing a, you know, survey of trying to figure out who our listeners were, what their backgrounds were, what they liked about the show, what they didn't like about the show. And we got a lot of responses to that. It was great. And we'll probably do another thing like that someday in the future. But it was also kind of involved. You know, there's a lot of questions. We asked a lot of people. And so I think it kind of appeals to a certain type of listener, probably somebody that's very invested in the show and therefore is willing to write a lot about it. But for this episode, I thought it might be interesting just to ask people how we could possibly improve the show and then talk about it on air. So
I like
Should we do that?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
By the way, I did go back to see if we did a review last year. We didn't do a review.
Oh, that's the one where I drank a bunch of wine. I remember now.
And then...
We just said we were going to get drunk, and then you guys didn't get drunk.
Wait, the 100th episode was... Yeah, Andy had champagne. That's what it was.
I mean, I guess we're on like 147 now, so I guess it would make sense that the 100th episode would have been right around New Year's last year. Anyway, we're doing this year, so everybody buckle up. It's going to be great.
Do you have booze? Can you get some?
No.
Can you go get some alcohol? No,
I don't. Okay. I don't actually like drinking. It's just I get.
No, I know. That's actually why it's fun. If you enjoyed it, it wouldn't really be fun. No, would it?
Here's the worst thing about drinking.
Tell me the worst thing about drinking.
The worst thing about drinking is you get really sleepy, but also you can't sleep, which seems like some weird purgatory that I don't know what anybody would ever wish on themselves.
But I don't have that problem. If I get sleepy, I just go to sleep.
See,
I don't have the not sleeping problem.
Oh, yeah. See, if I have something to drink, I will get really sleepy and I'll feel like exhausted. And then if I lay down and try and fall asleep, my brain's just like, just rolls and rolls and rolls, and I twitch and turn, and I get hot and take the covers off and get cold, but the covers back on. It's terrible.
Was it booze or coffee you had?
No, if I had coffee, oh, goodness gracious. I had one Red Bull once, and that was bad. And then I had half of a cup of coffee once, and that was also pretty bad. And so I've never gone back to either of those things because I don't... It'd be, like, sometimes if I drink just, like, tea in, like, the early afternoon, I have a hard time getting to sleep. I'm a very fragile baby. I'm a very sensitive boy.
Matt, do you ever have the feeling, like, maybe we, like, you and I screwed up somewhere? Because both of us are like, well, I had an energy drink, and I'm fine. Or, like, I had a beer, and I'm fine. And, like, you listen to Andy, you're like, either, like, he is just so active all the time, or, like, I'm screwed up somehow.
As long as you're doing your thing, man. As long as you're happy and falling asleep normally, what can you ask for?
Yeah, still, though. I don't know. Like, I can down, like, a couple energy drinks in the day and still be, like, I don't know.
It's actually like, funny. I have to...
I'm kind of with Dan. I can kind of do a lot of these things and not feel nearly as affected.
Yeah.
I'm very in touch with my body. I've always said that. I just really like to listen to my body and the messages it's sending me. I've actually found... I realized this only... relatively recently. You know, I was always a night owl growing up. I would stay up super late, and that's actually when I did my best work, like in college and even in high school, like working on things. It was always, you know, after 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. is when all the best work would happen.
Sure.
And I realized later, you know, if I'm in the office now, I get distracted very easily. So, like, I listen to podcasts very often while I'm working, which other people, both in the office and acquaintances of mine, say is completely inconceivable to them that they could possibly listen to a podcast. Like, listen to what's going on and follow the podcast and also get anything done. And I think I realized that I just, like, my brain is trying to do so much all the time that it has to be somehow incapacitated, either by exhaustion or it has to be somehow incapacitated by, like, trying to keep up with a podcast while also working in order for me to actually focus. Otherwise, I'm just like a squirrel that's just, like, running around and, like, picking up a nut and putting it back down, running up a tree and throwing a nut out of the tree. Like, I need something to, like, just... take part of my brain offline, and then I can actually focus and get work done.
Okay, so I know we have a topic and everything, but actually, okay, so I want to dig into this. Andy, do you have the situation where, like, you could be in a restaurant or something, and you could be having a conversation with whomever you're enjoying the meal with, but also listening to the other conversations at other tables at the same time?
Oh, more than you ever understand, for multiple reasons. For the first reason.
Okay, so, like, I have friends that, like, suffer through this. Like, they're paying attention to me, but they could also turn to me like, the table over there, like, they're having an argument right now. This is exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it's me.
And, like, but they're still paying attention to me at the same time.
Yeah. Like, I'll be having a conversation with somebody and also be like, man, can you believe this guy did that to his taxes? And they'll be like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, did you hear this guy talking about his tax return for the last 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have that for the one reason that my brain is always trying to do too much and ruin me. And also for the other reason, which is that I'm largely deaf in one ear, which... actually, it doesn't matter as much as you might think. Like, it's not like I can't hear things on the left side of my head. It's just that your ears start to compensate. You don't really realize after a while. The one place it matters is that, and I've read a lot about this, your brain does a lot of kind of work to help focus. If somebody you focus your eyes on something, your ears and brain will also focus on sound. So if you're in a busy restaurant, you're talking to somebody right across the table from you, your brain will actually start to quiet everything else out by isolating the sound of the person you're talking to. And the way it largely does that is the very slight difference in how long it takes sound to get from one ear to the other ear. That's like a way it can kind of triangulate exactly where things are coming from and start to ignore sounds that take longer to get from one ear to the other ear, other sorts of things. So when you're deaf in one ear or largely deaf in one ear, all the background noise is very, very loud. So I can always hear everything going on in restaurants. And if there's a TV on, I can't sit anywhere near the TV, or I will also watch everything on the TV and try to absorb all of that. I'm just like a baby or like a crow that's like drawn to shiny things. I can't handle it.
No, I mean, that's actually a very well-known condition that like there's actually a lot of people that will absorb pretty much just like all the stimulants around them audibly. And so like you're able to keep track of multiple conversations that are around you as well as things that you perceive with your eyes and whatnot. So it's actually a pretty normal thing. It's just like there's only a subset of people who have it. But it's like not until you point it out where somebody's like, yes, that's exactly it. So it's like almost like you feel like you're not crazy. So it's a normal thing. I'm just saying.
You know that thing where you read a Wikipedia page or a WebMD page or something and you're like, oh, I totally have this?
Yeah, cancer. Yeah, that's usually what it points to.
Okay. That's a little dark. There's a thing called misophonia, which it translates to hatred of sound, which is something that if I read that Wikipedia page, that is exactly me in every single way. And then the main thing is that, like, you pick up very acutely on what most people consider like background noise or like completely unimportant sounds, and also you're driven crazy by it. I can't eat a meal with people without background music or something on, because I'm so driven mad by the sounds of people eating and the fork hitting their teeth. And it's not even like I'm grossed out by it, but like I know it's going to happen, and then it happens, and I'm so frustrated by it. If you want to know more about how I feel, read the page for misophonia on, I'm probably not saying that right. It's like miso, the soup, phonia, the way that you would spell phone with an IA on the end. And that is how I feel. So acutely in those situations. Anyway, this would have all been cut out of Early on the Grid, and Matt the whole time would have been like, what are we doing? Get back to talking about graphic design. I have to edit this. But now I guess it's just the show.
It's okay. You guys are really beating that out of me.
You know, we've talked about Squarespace on this show a couple of times, and I bet a lot of you out there are thinking that maybe you're not ever going to need Squarespace. You know, maybe you're a designer or developer. Maybe make your own websites from scratch. That's fine. Good for you. Very artisanal. Maybe you're a person you just think, I don't need a website. Why would I ever need a website? I'm just a person going through life. And I got to say, there are a lot of situations where you could possibly need a website.
Maybe you need a website. Maybe you need it somewhat cheaply, but you don't have the skills to make it. Perfect. This episode is sponsored by Squarespace, a place where you can go to make sites that look professionally designed, regardless of skill level. No coding required, Andy.
Also, the place you can send your relatives or friends or friends of friends or friends of friends of relatives of friends that contact you about a website if you make them yourself. This may not be for you, but I bet it's for somebody.
I bet almost everybody on the show has been asked to make a website for somebody else, and you don't have time to do it. And also, you're not willing to do it for, say, like $8. But
and also, you're going to do a bad job. Just admit it. You will.
Squarespace has intuitive and easy-to-use tools. And you don't even have to worry about the domain. You sign up for a year and you get a domain for free.
Mm-hmm. And there are lots of circumstances where you would need a website. You know, maybe you're not going to make your own like personal homepage with some sweet links. Maybe you want to make a website for a family reunion because you're getting the whole family together. You want to put dates and times up there, collect some photos after the event. That you can do that with a website.
You can get everybody together in one place so they can all ask you to make their website at the same time. Is that the point of this family reunion?
If you're being incredibly self-centered, maybe. If you're of the opinion that everything's about you.
Oh, so if you're Andy Mangold, start your free trial today at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code GRID to get 10% off your first purchase and show your support for On the Grid.
You could make a website to celebrate your move across the country. Maybe you put all your stuff up there you're trying to sell. You put your new address up there, send it to all your friends and family members. You can make a website for anything.
When it's all about you, you have to make a website for everything. So thank you to Squarespace for supporting 5x5 and On the Grid. Squarespace, build it beautiful.
Squarespace, you are the center of everything. Make your website. Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's so complicated because I think the reason the show has kind of gotten like this is A, at least for me, I know the shows I listen to the most are the shows that have no topic, no structure, no format. It's just like people shooting the shit. And they're interesting people and they're probably funny people, but there's not like a thing that they're talking about or doing. It's just like, you know, people chatting. I don't know why I'm so drawn to that. It feels so much more humane. And I feel like you can cover topics that are entertaining and interesting and thought-provoking, all with a lack of pretense and a lack of kind of pandering. So I feel like in some ways, like I aspire for this show to be like that. But then also, I listened to this podcast I mentioned a little bit ago, this Magic of the Gathering limited podcast. It's called Limited Resources. And I listened to that show and I'm so jealous that they have this incredibly specific thing that they both know so much about that they can just talk about every single week. Like I wish, you know, I wish that I would want to make a show like that about the things I know about, right? Like, I think between the three of us, we have information like that in us about graphic design. We could just say we're only going to talk about graphic design things, and we're going to do a whole episode on sans serif fonts, and we're going to do a whole episode on grid systems, and we're just going to talk about these things. but I wouldn't want to do that. Like I, uh-huh. I don't care to make that show. And at the same time, I'm so jealous of the fact that they have that specific focus and they don't have to like pull something interesting out of thin air every week. They have this like, you know, structure.
Mm-hmm.
You should listen to it. It's kind of interesting, even if you don't play the game. And it's good because they're both good hosts. Anyway, we should get to this feedback from all of our beloved listeners. And listeners, you are beloved. If you were listening early on and you've stayed on board for this whole ride, you deserve some sort of medal, and or you're completely you have no discretion in your media and you should really
the show
has changed so much. I feel like we may have just had like total churn in people that listen. Who knows? Yeah. Should we just tackle this in order, do you think, or was there a particular piece of feedback that one of you was drawn to?
I kind of feel like we should go from just like top to bottom.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. So the first piece of feedback here, this is on our Reddit thread. If you haven't been on our subreddit, you should check it out. It's onthegrid.reddit.com. And there's a friendly little subreddit there. Occasionally some links about things that are vaguely design related, but mostly just friendly people hanging out, posting about Killer Mike. So the first comment is from JTReg05. JTReg05 says, "Hey guys. I'd like to have more guests on. The episodes with Christy, Gitamba, Satchel, and Maurice are great. You've always had some great selection of guests, and love to see more." We can kind of stop right there. We'll read the rest of this, but I mean, I think we like having guests on too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird thing where, like, I think all of us enjoy having somebody on the show, but at the same time, we don't want to turn it into an interview podcast, so, like, we try to stray away from that. I think we've talked about it in the past that it's... like, it's easy for us to jump in week over week because we're all used to each other as just, like, a set of three. But once you bring in somebody new, you kind of have to get reacclimated with the space and try to make sure that the conversation can, like, move forward. Where with us, it's, like, really easy, but...
Mm-hmm.
When you have a guest, you have to pick a personality type or, like...
Yeah.
You have to decide what it's going to be. It's either somebody who's, like, ready to talk and steer the ship... or it's somebody who's ready to hang back and you have to know that you're going to kind of jump in an interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've kind of said that if we're going to have a guest in the future, we always want them to be somebody that is either A, knows exactly what the show is, probably is a listener or has listened at some point and is willing to just jump in and do what we do, or B, like the show is about them. Like they did something notable or they have an interesting career and we are going to, you know, more or less interview them about the thing that they have done. Mm-hmm. And if one of those things isn't met, it's hard to have someone on. Also, it's just, you know, I wouldn't even mind becoming more of an interviewee kind of show with a like rotating panel, but the logistics of that are just, they're complicated. A big reason this doesn't happen more is that, you know, we record the show usually at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock on a weeknight. Most people are not, you know, super excited to hop on a call then, and they may have scheduling issues and we may have scheduling issues, and, you know, we got to get them set up with recording their audio and sending their files to Matt, and it's not entirely easy, which I think people should know. It's not that we don't do it because we don't want to. It's just that, you know, it's a challenge.
Well, and there's a nuance in there too. Like we say that we interview people from time to time. I mean, we've also had requests, in the past where people say like somebody wants to come onto a show for a very specific reason. A lot of times to like pitch something that they're working on or that they've produced, but it's like, we want to interview people sometimes because there's something specific about them that interests us and something that we want to talk about just like as a group. Or other times some people want to like turn it into almost like a marketing thing for themselves. And that's something that I don't think any of us are comfortable with because we're just not just a platform. So for somebody else to kind of be a soapbox, stand up on, where
it's a very, you know, like small soapbox too. They wouldn't want to do it if they knew how small the box was.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like half of it is like, why would you want to come on here? But two, like that's just not, like if you listen to the show, we're just not built for that. A lot of times, like there's something that's bugging one of us or all three of us, or even just like a combination there within that, we want to inquire with somebody who has more experience than us in that thing. So if like somebody writes a new book and they just want to talk about it, like that's not what we're built for. Where
it's a great excuse too, when we're, I can be like, oh, we're a podcast where three people have a conversation and there's no room for a fourth person, person who does the marketing for another person,
mm-hmm.
which is usually how that goes.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of that. It's not that we don't want to do it more, and we probably will continue to do it whenever we can make it happen. It's just those are the reasons why it's difficult. The logistics, and also, you know, the show is not something that's easily explained. If it was just an interview show, then we could just say, it's going to be an interview show. Here's some questions we're going to ask you. Show up ready to answer them. But in the case that somebody hasn't listened before, or isn't kind of, doesn't know what the show's all about, we've had a couple guests that never listened to the show, and our attempts to explain what it was to them ahead of time did not suffice. And the result was people that ended up being like, what just happened? What was that? What was that I was a part of? So yeah, that's tough. Anything else on the guests?
I would like to have more people on that just aren't us. That would be great. I think we can,
Yeah, that's what a guest is.
I just mean, we have very similar perspectives sometimes, and I think we can spend a whole show agreeing. Like, we'll get to it later, but I think a couple of people brought up the idea of conflict being great, which doesn't come up all the time. We're like, yeah, what you said is great. What a smart thing you said. We agree about that.
Way to go, other white guy from the suburbs. I totally agree.
Anyway, continuing JTReg05's comment. His next paragraph here says, always love Dan's perspective into things, so accommodating more discussion that Dan can jump in. He also says, maybe be easy on the guy. As an outsider listening to three friends, it can be a bit confronting. Like, maybe I shouldn't be listening to this interaction, and it's too personal. So, Dan, two questions for you. First question, do you feel like the topics that we are discussing are things that you don't have something to say about, or do you feel like you are just saying the amount that you want to say about most topics, and the topics are not the issue?
So I will, like, we haven't talked about this between the three of us.
Yeah, we're doing it now. Transparency. Radical transparency.
Even outside of the confines of a recorded episode, I've actually had to talk about this ad nauseum offline, like, actually in person.
Wait, with who?
Oh, like, people who listen to the show, like,
co-workers,
okay. friends, like, pretty much anybody who wants to talk about it. Because there's quite a few listeners that live in San Francisco, and I've gotten into, like, the best way I can describe this, at least this is the way I describe it. I don't know if you guys agree, but it's not about the amount of talking. It's really about how the three of us process things. Because pretty much, like, if anybody is new to the show or hasn't picked up on it yet, we basically jump into every show, like, having no idea what we're going to talk about. Andy oftentimes proposes something, and then we just kind of, like, hash it out on air. And the way that the three of us process things, from my perspective, is that, Andy, the way that you process things is by talking it through. So you talk a lot of it through, and you're processing things in your mind while you're saying things. And Matt's kind of like in the middle, where you sit back and you listen a little bit, and then also you kind of jump in. So you're kind of like middle of the road. And oftentimes I sit back a lot and I listen. I do a lot of listening, and then I interject whenever I feel appropriate. Like, if I actually have something to say. So when people say, oh, Dan should talk more, or, like, we don't hear enough of Dan, it's not that I don't want to talk. A lot of times it's that I'm processing things differently than what Andy does or what Matt does. And that just kind of defines the mix of which voice you hear at what time, like, which white guy you're listening to at any minute of the show. So, like, the reason why people say, like, Andy talks a lot is because literally Andy just, like, you talk it out. And that's how you're able to kind of come to a conclusion in your mind of where you're at with the subject. And obviously Matt in the middle of the road, and me, like, I'm just more quiet because that's how my brain works. I don't know if this is the truth. Like, this is the way it has been perceived to me. And I don't think it's bad for the show at all. Like, I don't think, like, I need to be talking more to add more value to the show. I just think that that's how we end up hashing through the subjects. Like, do you guys agree, or, like, do I have a misconception of, like, how we kind of talk stuff out?
I think it sounds pretty accurate. I've always thought it was a pretty good balance of just, well, we talked about guests earlier. When we have a fourth person on, somebody really has to hang back in order to make it work. You can't have three people asking questions of a person, or just, like, four people talking at the same time. And it kind of naturally seems to regress to three, with one person saying much less. And I've always kind of thought that the way it works is, that's how the space gets filled. Andy talks a little bit more. I talk somewhere in between Andy and Dan talks a little bit less. And if Dan talked as much as Andy, well, we'd be talking over each other the whole time.
Yeah. And okay, so another thing, like, this actually bothers me, Andy, that you apologize for talking so much. That actually bothers me a lot, because that's just the way that you're able to process things. Or at least that's the way I feel. I don't know if you feel the same way. And, like, when people say Andy talks a lot, no, that's just, like, that's the way you are. And if they don't like it, then either they could not listen to the show or just realize like that's just how we do things. So like I don't actually feel like you should have to apologize for talking as much, because that's just how you're built, or at least that's how you're built for the show, you know?
No, yeah, and I can't speak for you, Dan, but for me, like, this show is an exercise in, like, thinking out loud. I don't know what it is about me that I can't... Like, I certainly spend a ton of time ruminating on things, but I feel like it's almost like, you know, designing something. You can kind of design something in your head, but it's always different when you actually draw it, right? When you actually put it on paper or screen and look at it. It's the same way for me with ideas, right? Like, I can think of something for a long time, and then it always kind of changes a little bit when I just hear the words come out of my mouth and, you know, think about that sentence again in a different context. So yeah, I think for me, that's definitely what it is. And, you know, we decided a little while ago when we kind of made the final, put the final nail in the coffin of being a topical show, that I would kind of make it my charge to just come to the episodes with something to talk about, no matter how vague or specific. And that's what we've been doing for, I guess, you know, the past 12 or 15 episodes or something. So yeah, I guess the main thing here, Dan, is from people listening, I don't know if they can, because this is not clear to them necessarily. I think some people don't know if, like, for example, Matt just edits you out completely, or if you're trying to talk and we're just steamrolling over you, or, you know, they don't understand exactly what the sort of dynamic is. And I think that the way you've explained it hopefully will clear it up for some people, because you shouldn't feel pressure to talk any more than you want to. But I hope you do feel comfortable talking whenever and don't feel like you're being ignored or edited out or run over, because we don't intend to do that, obviously.
Well, yeah, yeah. And a lot of times when I hear this in person, or like when I'm reading through reviews or people commenting on Twitter or wherever, it's really like they're pointing out a symptom rather than the cause. And so they say, well, there's an imbalance of voices on the show and there's somebody who talks less. So their initial reaction based off of the symptom is like, give them a chance to talk more, or it's like I said, it's a symptom. It's them saying
a symptom of this weird relationship we all have.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like they're saying, like, these people should have equal voices, therefore they should be talking an equal amount, where that's just not the truth. Like, I can speak less because I process things differently. Therefore, like, I can still speak, and I feel like I got my two cents in. And just because I use fewer words doesn't mean that there's an imbalance in quality on what any of us say at any given time. It's just that it's fewer words. And I just, I think about it differently than you two guys. So I don't think it's a bad thing. And I hope that anybody that listens to this will say, oh, okay, I get it. So, like, he doesn't have to talk as much.
Yeah, I hope so.
I will say one thing, an observation based on last episode is, if Dan does strongly disagree with us, he's not, or I say us. Last episode, Dan and I specifically disagreed with Andy, and I think we both were pretty happy to talk about it. That was a pretty Dan-filled episode. So one way to get Dan to talk, if that's a goal, is talk about something we disagree about, as opposed to something we're kind of all on the same page
about.
There was
another part of that, that comment, though, where they were talking about topics that Dan... Oh, God, I'm talking in third person now. That Dan feels...
Dan.
That I would feel comfortable talking about. And, like, I've seen a few comments before where, like, the discussions that we have are more towards things around agency, because both of you guys pretty much run two different agencies. And I'm the odd man out because I work on an in-house team for a corporation. So it's just, like, there's an imbalance there just as far as our day-to-day lives. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Usually... it's good for me to sit back and listen to what you guys are talking about, then make comments as an outsider. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. And I'm, when people ask about topics that I would be comfortable talking about, it's not that I'm uncomfortable talking about things that are related to agency. I just don't have the experience. So I'm able to give a reaction much easier than I am to be able to say, like, oh, well, I did agency a few years ago, so I can give my opinion, because that was years ago. Like, I'm working in-house and it's a very different environment. If we want to talk about in-house stuff, that's a very different thing. But I also feel like the stuff that I do day-to-day is pretty dry compared to the more lively topics that we can have based off of what you guys experience day-to-day. And, like, I actually don't feel like that's a bad thing at all. Like, I don't feel any worries about that. So as far as topics are concerned, like, I don't feel like there's an absolute need for me to say, like, oh, as Dan, another kind of designer, I should be able to talk about this thing. Like, that's not a concern for me. For me personally, it's more about the enjoyment of whatever we get to talk about, we're allowed to talk about, because it's our show. and I don't have to be like the leader on the pack for whatever topic. That's fine. Like, I just enjoy being able to talk with you guys. That's it.
So yeah, hopefully that maybe fills in some people on the story of how the show works. And it's worth noting that, you know, off air, I have said to both of you that if there ever was any topic that you really want to talk about, that's what I want to do. Like, I have a running list of things that I can go to every week, and I see it as some kind of my job, if there is empty space, to try and fill it. But if there is positive space, if there are things that either you want to discuss, I want to do shows about those things. So that's kind of how we do it behind the scenes. You know what's difficult about running your own business, Matt?
Everything.
Everything. It's all so hard. Our job is the hardest job. Everyone else's job is easy. No, everything's hard. But you know what's especially hard is keeping track of all the stuff that the government and your accountant and all these boring people tell you have to keep track of that you just don't want to because you just want to spend all your time designing. That's the pits.
I know when I went to design school, I thought, now what I really want to do
spreadsheets.
Is keep track of all the invoices that I have to send to people. That's why I'm getting into this thing.
This episode of On the Grid is brought to you by FreshBooks. And I said this, if you're like me, maybe you're making your invoices fancy. You're like, I'm a designer. I'm going to do this fancy style. I'm going to look like a fancy boy.
Let's say you're a big dumb idiot and you've decided to make everything in InDesign.
Yep.
Add up everything by hand.
Yeah.
Like a monster who hates time.
Yeah. Maybe you just love eating up time. Yum, yum, yum. I can't wait to get older and die. Here's the deal. Like, this software is designed to help you run a business. I feel like some people look at something like FreshBooks and they're like, I don't need that. I already have spreadsheets and email and InDesign. You don't know how bad your life is and how much better it could be.
Stop doing it in InDesign. Get FreshBooks. Make managing your expenses easy.
Spend your valuable design hours and your valuable youth. You're out there. You're young. You're beautiful. Spend that young, beautiful youth designing things that matter instead of designing invoices.
Let FreshBooks do your invoices for you. It's really easy. They'll do the math for you. You don't have to do it by hand anymore.
It's like hiring a whole invoicing department.
And they'll stay on top of who owes you what, which is actually another really hard part. You could send out invoices, and then if you forget who pays and doesn't pay, you're going to go out of business.
You can make up a brand new email address that's like steve@yourwebsite.com, and then Steve can be the accounting department. And you send all the emails from Steve, and you tell people to respond to Steve if they have a problem. And if there's an issue, you can always throw Steve under the bus for tax reasons.
To try FreshBooks for 30 days, just go to freshbooks.com/grid and enter On the Grid in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
FreshBooks, because you didn't go to art school because you were good with numbers. Let's be honest, you didn't do that.
Thanks to FreshBooks for supporting 5x5 and On the Grid.
FreshBooks, not made by art students. I kind of want to jump down a little bit to, because we touched on it slightly. I want to jump down here. Yeah, here we go. So this is a comment from Madi M. Thank you, Madi. Madi says, I'm probably not representative of your audience. Madi, don't be so self-deprecating. Uh-huh. You may be very representative of your audience. He says he or she says they are from or living in Sweden. But some of my favorite episodes have been the ones where there is some sort of conflict to hang the discussion on, such as 130 and 131, which was the shows about the logo I made for my friend's cabins. and then the last two episodes where we discussed, the last two episodes were. I'm not saying that you should strive to manufacture conflict, but the best discussions, in my opinion, come from a strong disagreement and the exposition of that. How do you two feel about conflict being at the heart of our best episodes?
I think I'm happy if it's a genuine conflict and we really are arguing about something. I have to say, I think episode 145, the timeless episode, the accent wall episode, which is very recent memory. If I didn't edit that down, it drove me insane. Like, there are conflicts that can spiral out of control, and it's just two people or three people digging in and not letting go, and I feel like that's what that was. So I don't know if I want to get that far into a conflict like that, but I thought the last episode, I felt pretty good about that. I felt like we disagreed, but it was over a seemingly important thing in our lives, at least. So it worked. And I really liked that we got Dan to argue a point, which is not to take away from what you're saying previously, but I enjoyed it. I appreciated it.
Yeah, well, I think the main point that I took away from the past couple episodes is that when we're left with an episode that doesn't have a resolve at the end of it, I think those are usually the best. But when it's really just like butting heads, it's not constructive for anybody, either producing the conversation or listening to it. I think last episode was actually really good and really healthy because we were able to touch on a bunch of points where we didn't agree necessarily, and there wasn't much of resolve, but we are able to discuss it further. When it gets to the point where we're just like, here's this thing, and I'm going to be really fucking stubborn about it, and that's just going to be the way it's going to be. I don't think that's necessarily healthy in any sort of discussion, and I don't think it's healthy for the shows that we produce. But when we can like talk stuff out and at the end of it feel like okay as three people, that's really, really good. But I also hate the episodes where we could talk about a subject and are all like, okay, yeah, I kind of agree with that. Because it's really dry. And I don't think any of us have a whole lot of fun in saying like, oh yeah, I totally agree with that thing you just said. We should probably find some way to talk about this further or find a different thing to talk about, or else this is going to be a really boring episode.
For me, I think the difference is not necessarily in the resolution or in the nature of the conflict, but when the problem comes from a like inability to communicate, that's never fun to listen to, I don't think. And there was a lot of that two episodes ago, and there was even a little bit of it, you know, in the middle of last week's episode where it was a lot of like, well, these words mean this and you're using this other word and words, on all sides of the argument, which was just, you know, us failing on both sides to communicate what we were trying to communicate, which is always a struggle. So I think as long as we're communicating clearly enough, I think it's more fun and more engaging of a conversation when there is some kind of conflict. But, you know, the thing is you can't know really ahead of time, especially because the things I'm usually bringing to the shows are, I strive for them to not be like, here's a line in the sand, which side do you stand on? And more to be like, I've been thinking about this. What do you all think about this? I like conflict. Some small comments here about feeling like they were hearing something that was too personal or feeling like they were, it shouldn't be part of the conversation they were hearing. I think everyone should know that, you know, we do this because it's fun for us. Like no one's mad at each other here about anything we're talking about on the show. We're doing this because this is how we like to kind of, you know, work things out, is to discuss them and debate them and kind of get to the bottom of it. Yeah. And it's all good hearted. It's all,
yeah. That's something I think that we don't talk about as much, but I think that's been a long running theme just for us on the show, is that we really just started the show because all three of us wanted to be able to talk this stuff through, and we didn't have other avenues that were really dependable week over week that we could go and do that. So like a lot of times it really feels like the three of us are, it's not talking shop, but just being able to talk about these things that have been on our brain each week. And this is like the safe place to do it, so that we have a place that like we can depend on, that all three of us can hash stuff out, or just kind of like if something's bothering somebody, that we can go and discuss it. And like, first and foremost, when we started, it was for us. And we were just glad that there was other people that wanted to listen in, like they were part of the conversation in a way. Where as we started to grow, however we grew, it became something that we were still having personal conversations, but there was just a bigger audience that was listening in. And it might feel a little bit weird, but I don't think that would ever change on the show, where it would become less personal or more like audience oriented, because that's just the way we've always been.
Also, we get along very well in person too, so we don't actually hate each other behind the scenes or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we do. Do we still all like each other?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then we're good.
Is Matt referring to the fact that prior to pressing the record button, Dan and I were at each other's throats? Is that what you're referring to?
A little bit. Also, Andy called me out today for too much trolling. So yeah, a little bit of everybody calling each other out today.
Yeah. So, okay, whatever. I'm going to be totally clear on this. So I've been late quite a bit, and rightfully so. Andy has been getting on my case, and he totally deserves to do so. And then on top of that, Matt has been progressively trolling Andy on the internet out in the open. So I think it's a combination of things that we've all just gotten like a little bit of frustration, and it did come out for like 3 minutes. And then Matt, being the parent, was like, all right, hold on, the scale is back. Do you guys need to chat it out? Do we need to like hug it out or something? All right, okay. All right, let's go and do the show.
But you two have been delightful ever since. So how mad can we be? Actually, Andy could still be mad at me. I'm probably still going to keep trolling him.
No, I don't hold a grudge.
Nice ways.
I'm really bad. I'm really bad at holding a grudge. Sometimes I wish I was better at it, but I'm super bad at it. I'm like a dumb puppy. No, but it's funny. What episode did we talk about my feeling that everyone just thinks that I can take everything imaginable that can be dished out on me?
Oh, I thought we talked about that multiple episodes.
I probably did. Something I tend to project out into the world is that I'm down for taking a pummeling emotionally and otherwise. And sometimes it's just, you know, sometimes you have sensitive days and it's like, gosh, do you really... You really have to get everyone to favorite this tweet that implies that I'm some sort of jerk that thinks he knows better than everyone else.
But I also got more people to favorite an On the Grid Show tweet than any other tweet we've ever tweeted. So I think I did my job.
Oh, yeah. No, I think bottom line, Matt is just, he's become a savant in trolling. And it's very unsettling, but just given the sheer talent that you have on making other people feel like unjustifiably uncomfortable in situations.
I'm working very hard on it, and I'm also now working very hard to not let it get out of control, because I have a good time with it.
Oh, you have a great time with it. No,
too good a time.
Well, it's funny, because now that I talked to you about it, you know how this next level of trolling, where you're going even deeper and saying, like, I don't want to troll, I just want to recognize that everybody is complex and human, and I am not trolling, which is also trolling even further. We're going deeper into the Matrix. Anyway... So yeah, the conflict, yes, obviously I think it's more fun to disagree. We will never, I can assure you, we will never shy away from a topic that none of us, that we don't agree on. That's what we, things we always go for. Yeah. It's just that it's not always something that's obvious. It's hard to find those things sometimes.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, so long as it's constructive, that's usually like the healthy, well, it's the healthiest just for like three friends that go and have a show together. Once it gets to the point where we're just like stubborn assholes about things, it's just like, it's not good for anybody.
No, but I think we're like the three branches of the United States government. We're like checks and balances for each other. Because I know that you two won't let me get stubborn and stupid about something. I think same goes the other direction. And I think that the working that out is like the beautiful democratic process, you know? We're just like that horrible broken government that can't get anything done and it's been a deadlock.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Andy, you would be a real pro filibuster. I think you could filibuster for hours.
Oh yeah,
you know,
that would be. Can you be hired for that?
You know, filibuster. It's really difficult for me to come. It's hard for me to admit, though. I have to admit that, like, I'm damn good at bullshit. Like, I could just talk like forever. And the reason I don't want to admit that of myself and or publicly is because I feel like once you give that up, then everyone can just say all the time that you're bullshitting. And there's like legitimate things I want to talk about and have meaningful conversation about that is not bullshit. But also, if you want, I can just bullshit whenever about anything. So yeah, I'm filibuster for hire. Let me know. And I don't even need any warning. It's actually a fun game I do with Hillary where she asks me, you know, what I'm thinking about. And I'll just say, oh, nothing. She'll say, what are you really thinking about? And then I'll actually tell her, like, play by play what I'm really thinking about. And after like 30 seconds, she's like, stop. I can't stop it. Stop saying all the things you're thinking about. It's too many things.
Is that a fun game you play, or is that a fun for Andy game? That
I was about to say, is this like a fun game for everybody?
No, she has fun because for her, it's like a joke. She's like, oh, what are you thinking about right now? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking about how I'm going to hang those window drapes because I don't want to buy two different size curtain rods because eventually that closet is going to get removed. And then I don't want to have that one odd size curtain rod. So I should probably just buy the two sizes now. And when I do that, I'm probably just going to drill a hole through the drywall that I'm going to put the longer curtain rod through. It'll look a little weird, but it's kind of temporary. And then eventually we can remove it. And once we get to do that, we'll really open up the sort of natural light on that side of the room. And then we can put this closet in over here. All right, so I want to go to this comment. This is a comment here by W.B. Hood. Call him Wilbur Hood. So this listener says, first off, I'm a big fan of the show. Out of all the other design podcasts, On the Grid is easily my favorite. Thank you very much. I'm actually surprised there's anybody out there that listens to our show and also other design podcasts. Is that a little surprising to you?
Yeah.
A little bit, just because I think... we try so hard to be different than the other design podcasts.
I feel like we're the opposite of that in some
but
ways.
But maybe we started the show like 3 years ago knowing what was out there in the world. Maybe we just don't know what is out there in the world.
No, I look every once in a while.
I don't do that anymore.
I
subject yourself to this stuff where you're like, hey, I listen to this new design podcast and I hate it. I'm like, okay, I don't... don't know why you did that. I knew that was going to happen.
Well, I feel a responsibility if I'm going to go around saying there are no good design podcasts to listen to all of them, just so I know. Just, you know,
this is like a thing you do to yourself where you're like, guys, I saw a Kickstarter video on Facebook. I'm going to watch it and send it to you. Guess what's going to happen?
No, but like this helps justify Andy say like there are no other good podcasts. Like he could say that just like as a vast generalization, kind of like a Trump thing where he actually doesn't know where he's talking about. Instead, Andy does a responsible thing where he actually listens to the other show. So he could say, no, I've listened to them. There are a lot of bad design podcasts.
I make sure that I'm specifically judging each of them as opposed to just generally judging them, you know. Anyway, this person listens to other design podcasts and also ours, and they like ours, so thank you. He or she says, I had a hard time determining what I think could be improved, but in general, I'd like to hear more about the client work you guys do every day. The big picture, deep design talk is really interesting, but I'd also like to hear how it plays into your day job. Keep up the good work, fellas. And the reason I want to talk about this is because, well, because A, I think it's interesting, and B, somebody else commented below and said, I agree. And they basically, you know, agreed with the same kind of similar thing this person said. So we don't very often give specific, you know, it's not like, oh boy, work this week, this one client, this one project is really, you know, driving me crazy.
I can think of specific reasons why we don't do that.
Well, so obviously there's like the privacy reason, right? Like I did talk about designing Tobias's website on the show. You just didn't know it because I couldn't say I was designing Tobias's website. But I was talking about things that were happening on that project, you know, somewhat abstractly. I think the other reason is that it's there are many times where like a thing will happen in the office where I'm like, wow, I wish I could share this with all of the listeners. But the thing that I want to share with you requires so much context, and you have to be able to look at it, and you have to be able to understand all the things that are going on to really get why it's interesting and why we should think about it. And it's just so hard to convey that over audio that I think it feels kind of overwhelming sometimes.
Actually, that's a thing I take for granted now.
Are there other reasons we don't do this?
Well, I was going to say, one of the things I take for granted now that I didn't initially is like, we're technically doing an audio show about a visual medium.
Uh-huh.
Which doesn't seem odd now, but it should. Or like, I think if you explain to somebody for the first time what it's about, it seems very weird. So there is some leap we have to make in order to talk about the visual things we do all the time with almost no ability to show it to you. Like we can do show notes. Actually, I'll even say when we did that episode about you designing a logo for your friend, I put the logo up on the page on our website in our show notes, and at least 10 people emailed me or like asked me if I could send it to them because they were really curious what it looks like.
So look at the show notes, people.
Even in a, people, but it's just not.
It's not an accessible.
It's not really even considered.
It's barely it is, even. I mean, it's barely even attached to it, right? It's like
like
so incidental.
If you really try, you can go find it. Like you can find our website and go to the episode, but like it's kind of an afterthought. Yeah. So even if we wanted to embed visuals, it's pretty. It's just not part of the podcasting experience. Like who actually looks at their phone or looks at their laptop about the episode they're listening to? It's not really. Doesn't work. So some of it just there has to be we have to allow for you not seeing anything we're talking about. So some of it just has to be abstracted.
I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like even outside of like you guys have client work. I think they were specifically talking about like more of an agency format. So there are multiple clients coming in and out where that's just different from in-house. Mm-hmm. So even if you're abstracting that out to say just projects, which is kind of universal for all of us. I think that's a little bit strange, one, because of like non-disclosure sort of stuff, like privacy for whomever that you're making projects for. But two, if we really went that deep and that specific into things, I think it would end up being just very dry and flavorless because we would be talking about the nuanced portions of a project and really digging into it. And like there are the visual parts of it, which is fine. But even outside of that, I think if we didn't take it back out to the bigger picture sort of things, it would just become monotonous because we're applying our own processes between the three of us and however we go through the production of a project. And that would just start to repeat over and over and over again. And at the end of the day, we produce something. And I think that's really what matters the most is that we could do whatever process that we have. It's really what matters what we put out into the world. That could be something, but I think just cashing out the process over and over and over again is just something that it would be nice to talk about here and there, but to make it a more prevalent part of the show, just it wouldn't be good. Like, I wouldn't have fun talking about that. Like, if I were talking about the projects at work, one, I would be exposing the roadmap that we have, which is not good. But two, like, having to talk about like how I did like with the through the process of like product definition and wireframes and like constructing something, it's boring. So I feel like we moved away from that at some point of some of the specifics of design, whether it be a logo or a website or whatever. And at the end of the day, like, that's cool, but there's bigger picture things that are more interesting and things that really spark us as just the trio that we are. And I feel like we would be more active and interactive in the subject rather than saying like, oh yeah, I'm at the wireframe stage of this thing. We could talk it through. Like, this, I don't think we're built for that.
Well, I don't even know if that's what is being asked for. I will say, rather than just talk about what won't work about this idea, I did very much like the Andy episode where he was able to talk about a project and it wasn't just the every little detail of how it got made, but it was a problem that came out of it. But he was actually able to talk about, for the most part, the real thing. I also like, we did this a long time ago, but do you remember that 99 Designs episode?
Oh,
like the experiment thing we ran?
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to doing stuff like that. Like, we just go make our own project that we're completely allowed to talk about every aspect of it. There's no privacy issue involved. It was fun. It was a fun thing to do. So it's more time consuming. I don't think we could do something like that every week. But to kind of answer this in a positive way and not just say, no, we can't do this, I would do stuff like that. I think that was very fun.
Well, and from my perspective too, the topics I bring to the show every week are almost always, without any exception, rooted in something that is specifically happening to me at work that week or that month or something. So it's, in many instances, I could talk about it. I just usually am like, well, a lot of work to explain all these details, but I'm reminded of the thing John Hodgman says all the time, which is specificity is the soul of narrative. So maybe on a couple of these, I will actually try and explain the context of the actual thing I'm thinking about more specifically instead of just abstractly. Maybe that'll make it more real for people. And we can always, if it doesn't work, edit it out or, you know, well, we should give it a shot though, because there are things I definitely can't talk about. Like, most of our projects are not secret. We're working on an app for drainage, working on an app that's a game, working on some websites. It's not like we can't talk about them.
Yeah.
It's just,
I wonder if it's just like I think so the subject or the episodes that we had that was about the logo that you had produced, it was already in the past. So we were already kind of,
well,
like,
not really.
Well, I mean, yeah. But I mean, like, it was like, things that you had already done that had sparked whatever the consequences were in the present time when we had created that. Like, there was still that something had already happened. So I wonder if, like, having a perspective, it was almost like a postmortem of things. Or say, like, we created this thing, or we had already taken action on this thing and kind of, like, talking through that, even though, like, it might still be going on, but it's still talking about things in the past where that might be constructive instead of saying, like, I'm in the middle of this still and I'm still working on it. Like, I don't know if there's so much to do there. I think it's more like there's already been an action, there's a consequence, and we're talking about the consequence.
I actually have this idea for a while. I don't know how, whatever. Basically, in all of my overthinking, I kind of think about what I would do in this scenario that, like, Friends of the Web exploded. Like, maybe I'm out of the office for a day and a meteor hits the office and kills everyone but me, and the office is also destroyed. Like, what do I do then? I think the idea of running, like, a totally transparent design studio and actually making, like, a podcast or something that was episodic about one project and waiting until the project was done to release the shows, but, you know, covering all of the details of every single little decision, that would be very interesting. Because, like I said, some of the things I most want to talk about are, like, super detailed aspects of, you know, a small piece of a bigger project that the context is exhausting to provide. But if you have it, there's some valuable things that can be discussed. So I don't know. I think that's valuable feedback. I want to try and bring in some more specifics if we can, just because that's where all these things come from anyway, so why always put in this middleman of abstraction when we don't have to necessarily? So we'll see. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe we can bring in some more specifics of things. So I guess the other thing we could talk about is a couple people mentioned things about, you know, kind of the off-topic conversation, which
the line stuff or something.
The line is getting blurry in some ways between what the off-topic conversation and the on-topic conversation is, because it's not like we're ever breaking and saying like, all right, now let's go to the topic of the week. Although at some point, usually after we're done talking up front, you know, Matt will basically be like, all right, what are we talking about this week, Andy? Like, say something now. So here's my perspective on that. And the specific comment here, let's see. Let's read one just so we have someone else's words to explain it. So Fett says, hi on the grid. One thing that I have trouble with in a lot of podcasts, especially ones I don't catch every episode of, is when too much upfront time is spent goofing off, making inside jokes, and generally being self-referential and self-deprecating about how unenjoyable this sort of thing must be to listen to. Of course, if it's a show I have listened to from the very beginning and I haven't missed any episodes, then it's all part of the fun. Of course, we listen to podcasts because we like the people on them. He said, I think it was lucky that the first couple of On the Grid episodes I listened to were easy to enjoy on their own, but some of the later ones made me feel out and impatient for the real show to start. So, this is interesting because in my perfect world, we would like blur this line so much that it would basically disappear. And what is fun goofing off would also contain, you know, little gems of insight and sort of something that people could apply in their lives, and would also contain some value to people. And we wouldn't have to have a separate section of the show for fun jokes and then a separate section of the show for now we get serious and talk about something that matters. But maybe I'm just grasping for an ideal that is not going to work with us.
I think there's a degree of it that's necessary because it's super unnatural to just open the show with a topic. Yeah. Like, I can't... We could always edit it to do that, but I think, well, as sometimes when I'll take out maybe a little bit too much and you hear someone's tone of voice shift for almost no reason, it can be a little bit weird. I would imagine just taking out the entire front of the show would be a little bit weird, even if, you know, we need it to ramp up into actually talking about something. But I don't know. I mean, maybe that's something we want to try, like, one episode. But, you know, I don't know if I'd like it. Just there's like a part of it that's like, I need a couple of minutes just to get into it, and I don't want to take it out because then it feels unnatural and weird.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the way that we're built, like, this is almost the DNA of the show at this point, is that it's three friends that are coming together. It's a little bit of us catching up in the week, see how everybody's doing and see what's going on, and then a little bit of like what we want to talk about in a more serious tone. And of course, mm-hmm. that gets blurred, and that's good. But I think that if we were to change the DNA to where if it was entirely topical, as if we were like a political panel on some sort of thing on like MSNBC or like whatever, you know, like HBO or whatever, I don't think that that's necessarily how we act as the three human beings that we are. I think if we chopped it out and somebody wanted to cut to the chase and see what the topic was, yeah, I think we could try it. But I think when there's a difference between how we go in it when we're on Skype and we're recording as opposed to editing. Editing, it could be whatever it's going to be at the end. If it's just a topic, cool, that's whatever it is. But I don't think the three of us could jump into an episode without talking about all the other stuff and catching up for a few minutes. So, like, I'm totally up for us trying it to see how the edited thing would be. But I know that, like, just us as a trio, like, we have to kind of, like, lead into it a little bit and just kind of get talking. Because that also kind of, like, lubricates the conversation in a way where we're, like, we're getting readjusted for the week of discussing things as three voices.
I think there are two things I've thought about trying for this. One is just saying at the front of the show, like, the exact time the actual conversation starts.
Oh, sure.
Because despite what Andy said, we do pretty much always have, like, a musical break between, like, the upfront and the general conversation, mm-hmm. or, like, the topic of the show. So it is pretty easy to define an exact time, and I could just say that in the intro every time. It's actually a little bit hard to say in the intro every time because the intro can be a couple of seconds longer or shorter, but generally I could get it. Or I could just chop it and move it to the end of the show after the music, which I will sometimes just add a thing there that has no place anywhere else, but I thought it was a little bit funny or something. But the weird thing about that is sometimes we'll say something at the beginning of the show that we will then reference in the middle of the show, and if I move that to the end, then it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I really love personally the like long diatribes at the end of podcasts sometimes when they're like after the end credits or the end music or whatever, and it's just more stuff. Although I have heard from multiple people that like seeing the timestamp being longer is a real deterrent for a lot of people. Like they have a certain amount of time carved out to listen to the show, and if they see 85 minutes, even they don't know 27 minutes of that is at the end of people just, you know, cracking jokes about Drake, and that's a reason people won't listen. So yeah, I don't know. I this is the thing I feel mixed about. And I think it's comes down to like a balance between I don't want the show, of course, to be unapproachable to new listeners. That I think would be bad. And at the same time, I also want to, you know, offer some kind of reward or value to people that are coming back and listening all the time. And I the shows I love the most are the ones that I've listened to a ton, and I feel an investment with the hosts, and I feel a connection to them, and I want to know more about them and get to know them better. And, you know, so that is a value for me. This is actually on the year-end episode of Limited Resources. They talked about something similar, which is that on that show, they use a lot of both like jargon that's relative to like their specific industry and also jargon they just invented on the show. Like they made up new terms for things that don't exist anywhere else. And some feedback from their listeners was like, hey, it's okay if you use this. We understand it's a shorthand. We understand it's nice for the listeners to get the joke, get the inside thing, to understand what you're talking about. Maybe just explain it every time. And I don't know how that relates to us because, like, you know, we could, you know, for example, I think one thing we do, which no one specifically called out, but I think is maybe what's happening here, is we talk about, like, the conversations we have on Twitter. My assumption being that everyone's on Twitter, which is, of course, not the case. And if you're not on Twitter at all, I have to imagine those conversations seem totally alien and stupid to you when we're just talking about tweets we tweeted. So maybe there's a way we can explain more backstory to kind of bring more people in as opposed to just ignoring it completely. So we're making sure we're not cutting anybody off. But it's a tough balance to strike. And again, I do kind of, I am jealous of, like, I feel like I want the show to be everything, right? Like, I don't want anything to be off topic. I don't want anything to be out of bounds. I want to be able to talk about whatever is relevant in any of our minds at any time. And I think the natural fact that we're three designers of a similar age and a similar generation working in a very similar industry means that the things that are going to be on our mind are going to revolve around something. But I don't think that means that we shouldn't talk about Bernie Sanders, or we shouldn't talk about, you know, political things that are happening, or we shouldn't talk about science, or, you know, the SpaceX landing, whatever we want to talk about. And I think when we don't draw a line like that, then it just makes it a lot harder. And so I'm torn between not wanting to draw that line because I don't want to limit what the show can be, because maybe it could be great if we talked about things in a way that was more approachable and more interesting and more entertaining and more insightful. But at the same time, if we did limit ourselves, it'd be much easier to do all these things because we would have a focus. So
yeah, it's tough. I do feel like there's another part of this too, where like we've talked about things that are related to show notes and being able to trudge through those and just the discovery of those things. And also like the idea of saying, oh, at this marker at the beginning of the show, this is where we actually talk about stuff. Like there's so many little examples where it exposes how opaque the format is and the medium is for podcasting. And that, unfortunately, it's on the onus of our part to try to remember that we're a voice only, or like an audio only format, where we're trying to describe things that are visual, and as many notes and as many context clues that we can provide, we still have to go that extra mile to try to make it as approachable for everybody. And sometimes we might not do that, and sometimes we just might forget, and that's okay. But I think that maybe it's just an issue that we have to remind ourselves, like, okay, people can only hear us making mouth noises, and that we really need to make sure that we're describing things as best as we can. If we can't, maybe we shouldn't be talking about it, because we can't provide enough context for people to really attach what we're talking about. So it's like, I feel like maybe sometimes we should take a step back and say, okay, is the thing that we talked about really good for somebody to listen to? Or is this something that's going to be heavy on, like, we're going to have additional context clues, like in written format or whatever, to describe it? And if that's the case, then maybe we shouldn't be doing those things. Or maybe there's a way that we could add things into the show that are really lightweight that could accentuate those little details. Like, it's just like, I feel like we still have to work out some of those kinks, but also sometimes I feel like well, yeah, we're designers talking all the time, and that it's just no matter what, this is going to be a difficult thing to accomplish.
I think we could also, the thing we've talked about doing that we've never done is making some sort of like starter kit, point people in the right direction if they want to start listening to the show.
Yeah, yeah. Still want to do that.
I think we just have to make a website and either put a couple episodes in or edit together like a couple of episodes into one and put a little intro outro with it explaining who we are and what we do. I mean, even like it bothers me, but I understand when people on Twitter say, I can't even tell the differences between your voices.
I'm offended.
I'm not offended. I just want to be like,
I too am also offended. Yes, I'm offended as well. I can't believe they would say that about us on the Twitter. What are they doing over there?
Which makes me want to introduce ourselves a little bit better, or at least give some sort of, I don't know, maybe there's one episode where we go, hi, I'm Matt. This is the way that I sound. You'll be hearing me from now on.
And hi, I'm Dan. This is the way that I sound. yeah. No, it's that's the kind of stuff that's tough, right? Like, there's a balance, right? Like some podcasts I listen to, the first 4 minutes of the show is exactly the same every time because they want to make sure that every single base is covered for any listener that is new.
Yeah.
Which
and that's annoying.
It's very annoying as somebody that
if
is
you're a
back
loyal listener
time,
or listen to back to back, you're incredibly frustrated by
it's
that.
It's the worst. Yeah. And then other podcasts like never even address who is who. Like I think Reconcilable Differences, if you didn't know who Merlin Mann and who John Siracusa were, like they never say who's who. Like if you showed up to that show with no, I mean they're celebrities, of course, so they have, you know, a kind of celebrity, so they have that recognition, and I think everyone listening to that show has listened to one of their other shows. But it's interesting that like they'd never even said like who is who. It's just two voices in the void, and you could probably suss it out after a little while. But
well, I mean, at the very least, you know that there's two different voices. Where I think with us, because there's three different, just because there's an extra person, and that we, it's not a fair like 50-50 balance. That it can get a little bit confusing, especially if you're trying to keep up with like who's making noise at whatever time.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I guess, you know, you can always see more variation inside of the groups you're a part of. But I am so shocked people can't tell our voices apart. Like
I do think we should. I think Andy's joking suggestion of, Andy, if you want to do like a real high-pitched cartoony voice, Dan, maybe like really thicken up the Southern accent and I'll just stay exactly the same and do nothing goofy.
Yeah.
I think that'll probably improve the show a lot.
No, okay. No, Matt. I think you could actually, you could sound much more like a townie, and that would help out the show significantly.
I don't know what a
townie
is.
Well, we're going to change it up. I think Matt's fine to stay the way he is.
I agree. I think
Matt,
I'm perfect.
You're a perfect
all need
flower.
To change.
Well, all right. I guess I'm doing the Southern accent
y'all
anyways.
You're a perfect flower.
This has been On the Grid, episode 147. Thanks to everyone who's listened for 2015 for the past three and a half years of our existence. I'll just say this, if you want to continue to leave feedback on how to make the show better, things you think we can improve, things you don't like about the show, maybe you want to see more guests, maybe there's more of a certain topic you want to hear about, go to onthegrid.reddit.com. We have a thread for feedback. Feel free to leave it there, or you can comment on the things we said on this episode. There will be a thread for this episode. We're very interested to hear what all of you have to say, so check it out, onthegrid.reddit.com. As always, thanks to Dan for the interlude music, Glassboy for the ad music, Girlfriends for the theme music, and finally, thanks to you for listening. Until next year.